Are you ready for the word? Great. Well, let's go and welcome everybody watching us on the internet right now. Good morning. God bless you wherever you are in the country, wherever you are in the world. So good to have you connecting with us here this morning. Go ahead and grab your Bibles if you would, please. Hold those up in the air. Repeat this after me. This is my Bible, and I believe what it says. I can have what it says I can have, and I can do what it says I can do. I choose to open up my heart and my mind to God's word today. Amen. Go and open up your Bibles, if you would, please, to the book of Daniel, chapter 5. Daniel, chapter 5. We are going to talk about the Holy Spirit for this next series. I know that this is a discussion point that I bring up quite often, but I want to remind us all, one of the reasons I believe God has us in this generation, you know, I believe every church has specific callings. I believe every church is for such a time as this kind of moments. And I think one of the calls on Life Church, both here and in Rockford and all the churches we'll plant in the future, is to help introduce people to the person of the Holy Spirit, to help bring people into an understanding to where he's not just a theology or a part of the Trinity, but he's a real, relevant reality in their everyday lives. Even the Spirit-filled church, what we would call the charismatic church, so many times have limited who the Holy Spirit is to some manifestations or some internal signs and wonders that they see at revival services, and people come and they practice a few little power moves and things like that. But he's still not making his way out into the world. And truly, the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer is the change agent that God sent out into all the world. That he did not send just believers, good people, into this world to change the world. He sent Spirit-filled believers into this world to change the world. But they need training. They need to know what that means. They need to be discipled in being Spirit-filled people. Just like we need discipleship in being Christians and following Jesus, it's important that we have understanding of who the Holy Spirit is. And so I bring him up consistently because I believe it's a consistent drumbeat here in the church of why we exist. The more quality Spirit-filled believers this world has, the better this world will be. It's my opinion, and I believe it's one I can persuade you to believe as well. You know, the Bible tells us in Acts chapter 19, Paul met a group of believers over by a river, and he said to them, "Have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed?" So here's these individuals who had an understanding of God, understanding of Jesus. This was their comment to him. They said, "We didn't even know there was a Holy Spirit." And so he's like, "Okay, we need to build a foundation here." And I believe that's where we are in this generation. There are people that have a negative view of the Holy Spirit, not of the Spirit himself, but more of people who in the name of the Spirit just got too weird and did some things that were offensive. See, the Holy Spirit himself should be the most beautiful, kind of easy to receive, you know, Spirit of God. He's not the hard one to receive because he's natural for us. He's God. The presence of God is not difficult for us to receive, but the package that sometimes the Holy Spirit has come in people that were undisciplined, in people that were unruly, of people that didn't know what they were doing, and they tried doing things based on emotion, offended some people. And so there's been some bad examples there. And I think there is some of that bias in our culture where people say, oh, the Spirit-filled bunch, they're a bunch of weirdos, or they're just a bunch of enthusiastic people who are thrill seekers or feeling seekers and things like that. But I also believe there's a big group of people in our culture who don't even realize there is a Holy Spirit, and even if they do, they have so little teaching on who he is, they don't have any faith for what that would mean anyways. And if no one tells you the value of something, how would you desire it? Why would you desire it? And so it's important that we can articulate the value of being Spirit-filled people, the value of why we exist and why that we're here. But I want to take this to another level, because for the past few years, I think you've understood that this is a passion of my heart, that I am a Spirit-filled pastor that loves the Holy Spirit. But I don't want it to be something where you're like, aren't we glad our pastor is Spirit-filled? A Spirit-filled church has nothing to do with just a pastor that's Spirit-filled, but rather a people that is Spirit-filled. Understand, that's a church. A pastor isn't the church. A pastor is one part of the body, but a Spirit-filled people. And so I want to take the passion that's in my heart, and I want to link it into your heart so that you can also see why this matters. And then in seeing why it matters, seeing why now you need to communicate it and take it into the streets and take it into your workplaces, and that you could sit down with someone over a cup of coffee and logically explain to them the power and the need and the value of having the Spirit in your life. So when people at work say, oh, you go to one of those Spirit-filled churches, you're like, absolutely, you want to come? and you say, hey, let me tell you why I go to that church. And I'm excited, and I can, again, articulate the value of it and even persuade some of them who in bias or in deception thought that what we're doing here is outside the box of being normal in church. This is normal. This is biblical. This is Book of Acts. Are you understanding what I'm saying? But it's very important that it moves from me describing and me having passion and me seeing the value and it going into your life. And so as I teach some of the things again in this series on the Holy Spirit, I want you to learn it now, not for your sake, but so that you can articulate it to somebody else. So that you can lead somebody else and put a passion in your children about the Holy Spirit. It's not just Pastor Heather and our youth pastors' positions and jobs to put passion in our kids about these things. Something we can be talking about as parents because we're passionate about the Holy Spirit of God because we really are convinced of the value of the Spirit in the life of a believer. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And so today I want to talk to you about being excellent Spirit-filled people. Excellent Spirit-filled people. Actually, I've entitled this whole series, An Excellent Spirit. An Excellent Spirit. I really believe being Spirit-filled makes us excellent people. Excellent in what we can accomplish in this world. Excellent in who we are and who we can become. Because we have the helper's help to become the full vision that Jesus died for in our lives. See, God had a great vision, which is why he sent a great Savior to do a great work to accomplish something great in our lives. And it's so great, he sends the helper himself, the Holy Spirit, to see it come to pass because it's bigger than you could ask, think, or imagine. Did you hear what I just said? Amen. And so we need the help of the Holy Spirit. And the work that God's doing in our life is a great work. I want to talk to you about Daniel and kind of use him as an example. I shared some of this in the school, the Bible graduation, but I'll take you further, you know, in it. But I really want to convince you today about the excellence that the Spirit brings into the life of a person. The excellence that we can become as we are Spirit-filled people in this lost and dying world. Here we're going to see Daniel. Daniel, just give you background if you're new to the Scriptures, you don't know much about who Daniel is. Daniel was one of the children of Israel who was taken captive by Babylon. Was used by God to, actually there was judgment that was brought upon Israel for their disobedience. God for years had told them, hey, straighten up, God's mercy continued to talk to Israel, prophesied to them about a coming judgment that he desired them to change, and obviously they did not change. So Babylon comes in. Babylon is one of the largest empires of the world at this time, and comes in and takes over Israel, takes its young men that showed promise in learning. Bible says they were good-looking men, showed promise in learning, and they brought him into the king's palace to be trained alongside of all the other young leaders, up-and-coming leaders that would later be advisors to the king. They would begin to train them in all the wisdom of Babylon. Now, when you say that, all the wisdom of Babylon, you're going to have to, again, put it back into context that Babylon's a very successful community. It's a very successful empire. So it had wisdom. Wisdom of economy, wisdom of medicine, wisdom of political prowess and power, wisdom in all kinds of architecture and art and music. And so Daniel would have been trained in all of these things. And the Bible says that Babylon got to a place, as Daniel got older, that Babylon came to a place where the king was in a position where he needed some help. He needed wisdom. He needed insight. That his advisors and all the people in his palace, all the people trained in earthly, worldly wisdom, couldn't help him with. Now, I believe it's in moments like these that God's Spirit-filled people shine the best. Amen. That when the wisdom of this world, the Bible says the wisdom of this world is foolishness to God. And there's going to come a point in every city, in every culture, in every time, every season, in every tribe and in every tongue, where the wisdom of this world is not going to be enough. And they're going to need to find answers that are bigger than what all their degrees and all their experience can bring them. I have a dream that one day the leaders of this world will be like they were in this day of Daniel. Well, they'll say, bring me a Spirit-filled man or woman because they can solve problems no one else can solve. I want to show you in this series and show you today that being an excellent Spirit-filled person, one of the reasons we get squirrely on being Spirit-filled and we mess things up in being Spirit-filled is when we think that being Spirit-filled is about an experience that we just have or feel. Being Spirit-filled is a responsibility. Being Spirit-filled is about doing something to bring the world closer to the vision of God for it. We get weird when we just want to have fun in the house of God and just get touched and blessed personally alone, because we're taking the power and we're taking the authority and we're taking the quality of what's on the inside of us, and we're literally wasting it with a few hours of goosebumps. Amen. With what's been put inside of you is to save the planet. What's been put inside of you is to save the neighborhoods, to save the economies, to save the governments, to save people's lives so that they can live long, find Jesus, raise their kids, and raise them to serve Jesus. And with inside of you, the Spirit-filled individual, why do I say the Spirit-filled individual? Because the Spirit on the inside of you is the Spirit of God. That's where you find the mind of Christ, the wisdom of God. It's not just in your degree. There's going to come places in this world where the degrees of men can't answer world's problems. But God knows how to fix everything. Because he's the creator of the family, so he knows how to fix the family. He's the creator of authority, so he knows how authority should operate in every generation. He knows how you need to make money and how a government can make the people prosperous and still be a prosperous government and not take all the money from the people, and also the government has what it needs. God knows how to do all these things.
Amen.
Amen. Which means you have access to the mind of God, being a Spirit-filled person. See, in being a Spirit-filled person is you're not just forgiven of sin, but you've been filled with the Holy Spirit. It's one thing just to have your name going to heaven. It's another thing to be able to bring some of heaven into a lost and dying world. Amen. Excellent Spirit-filled people. And we see this example in the book of Daniel. So here, Daniel started getting some notoriety. Daniel started getting some traction in his ministry, all because he was able to do what all the advisors couldn't do. Now, when we say advisors back then, they would call them magicians and they would call them conjurers and, you know, all kinds of things. These are not magicians like a magic trick show like you would see today. They were people that were trained in all kinds of medicine arts, all kinds of dark practices, but also in all the political things and governmental things. So their false leaders, their spiritual advisors and things were not just, you know, superstitious people. They were educated, and so they were part of the council of the king. And so Daniel began to show himself different, having a greater spirit, a better spirit, better problem solver than all these others. He kept getting promoted everywhere he went. As a Spirit-filled person, I believe you should be promoted everywhere you go, because you can bring to the table something no one else can bring to the table. Don't just expect to be promoted just because you're cute and wonderful and you're like, oh, I'm Spirit-filled, so I'm just going to speak, you know, the word over my job. You know, Daniel didn't just speak the word. Daniel did something. Daniel brought answers. Daniel brought solutions. And he was promoted because of what he could do, not just what he was saying. You understand what I'm saying? Again, it's part of the process. This all goes together. I'm not saying it's wrong to speak life. Man, we need to speak life, not death. But don't just speak life. Back it up. You have the power to back it up. You've been given, according to Acts 1 chapter 8, you've been given dunamis, dynamite power. Amen? Now that power is power to get things done. It's not just power to speak in tongues. It's power to get jobs done. Amen. Amen. So anyways, Daniel gets promoted in the first king, and that king for some reason is out of the picture when we open here to Daniel chapter 5. There's another king that we're going to see. Daniel chapter 5, verse 1, Belshazzar the king. Now, he's a son of the last king that brought Daniel in. Belshazzar is now having a big party in his honor, and he really wants to show that he thinks he's someone great, he's somebody special, so he has this big drunk fest, and he says, let's really be corrupt, let's really be pagan right now, and let's take all those holy sacred vessels that we stole from Israel when we ransacked their temple, and let's put our wine in those vessels that were consecrated to God, and let's have a big party and really make a mockery of the God of Israel. So this is already, you can already see where this is going, right? And so they start having their big drunk fest, and the Bible says in the middle of the party, this hand without a body shows up on the side of the wall and begins to write in an unknown language on the side of the wall. And, you know, the king wanted to know what was going on, as I would as well. He wanted to know what that hand had written, as I would as well. So take that as point one. If a bodiless hand starts writing on your wall, find out what it's saying. Just my opinion. But none of his counselors, none of his wise men could figure it out. And now the queen steps in and says, don't worry, I know a guy. I think she's part Italian. I know a guy. Right? He can get you ice capades. I know a guy. Anyways, verse 10. The queen entered the banquet hall because of the words of the king and his nobles. And the queen spoke and said, O king, live forever. Do not let your thoughts alarm you or your face be pale. There is a man in your kingdom who is a spirit of the holy gods. And in the days of your father, illumination, insight, wisdom, like the wisdom of the gods, were found in him. King Nebuchadnezzar, your father, the king, appointed him chief of the magicians, conjurers, the Chaldeans, and the diviners. This was because an extraordinary spirit. Now, in the King James, it actually says, because an excellent spirit. Knowledge and insight, interpretation of dreams, explanation of enigmas, solving of difficult problems were found in this Daniel, whom the king named Belteshazzar. Let Daniel now be summoned, and he will declare the interpretation. Isn't that awesome? What if that was us? What if the kings of our day and the queens of our day get to the end of their rope, get to the end of their wisdom, and they've tried all their stuff, and they say, we've heard about these individuals, these people, who have proven themselves. Now, this isn't just we're hoping for a phone call one day, everybody. This is being faithful in little, and God will make you ruler over much. See, we can sit there and confess boldly that my phone's going to ring and someone's going to need me one day and just confess it. Or we can go out and start doing good, healing all who are oppressed of the devil, fixing things, using and practicing the Spirit, practicing praying in the Spirit, getting the mind of God over things, getting into difficult situations so that we can help fix those situations, running to the battle in the school board, in our economies of local government, in the factory, in the company that you're in, and say, hey, I believe I can help find a solution to the problem. I'm going to go home for you work your full day and go home tonight and see God, and then come back tomorrow with three answers or options of what we can do to turn the company around. Start getting involved in making differences. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Start letting the God inside of you start fixing the worlds around you, and that's where your name starts being known as someone trustworthy who has an excellent spirit that can fix things no one else can fix. This is not just being ethereal, everybody. This is not just us saying, hey, we're a spirit-filled church, we speak in tongues, we have a good time at encounter services, but realizing why we've been empowered. We've been empowered because this world needs something that the wisdom of this world cannot bring and cannot provide, but you can. Thank you for all four of you that are excited about that right now. I love what it says there. Then it says he has the interpretation of dreams, explanation of enigmas, and the solving of difficult problems. That phrase, difficult problems. Now, again, this isn't just rumor here. This is Daniel had proven this. This is why the spirit was on Daniel. She called it the spirit of the gods, but really we know there's only one. And it's the spirit of the one true God is upon this Daniel. Which is why he could do things that these people worshiping gods that don't exist couldn't do. And you know, people today worship gods that don't exist. But you still worship the one true God. You don't even just worship the one true God. The Bible says you are the temple of that one true God. And you don't even realize that your body is filled sometimes with who he is. Paul even said, don't you realize you are the temple of the Holy Spirit of God? Sometimes we forget what's on the inside of us. That the one who created everything is not somewhere out there in the pale moonlight, but he is in here. Are you understanding? Yes. So that he can be an ever-present help in time of need. Amen. Amen. Not just your need, right. But you're the salt, you're the light, you're the city on the hill, you're the problem solvers in the world. You've been anointed by the Spirit of God for such a time as this. You look for people in problems and situations so you can bring the wisdom of God, bring the knowledge of God, bring the power of God if necessary, bring the mind of God into the situation, the ability of God in the situation, because you're the one filled with the Spirit of God. Let me finish the other thought before I forget it. And that is the complicated problems. It says that he was gifted in solving these difficult problems. That word difficult there is a word for knotted, like knots in a rope. Some translations read knotty problems, not naughty like bad boy, not naughty like that, but like knotted as in twisted, complicated, difficult problems. You know, the idea of twisted, like the idea of wickedness. You know, wicker furniture, the word wicker is actually rooted in that same word as wicked because it means twisted. It's twisted wood, twisted wicker, twisted thinking. Our world has twisted thinking. It has difficult problems. It has twisted thinking when it comes to the family. It has twisted thinking when it comes to the economy. It has twisted thinking when it comes to how to deal with situations around the world and global conflicts. It has we call it a wicked mind, but it's a twisted way of thinking. It's the wisdom of this world is an animosity towards God, and it's trying to solve problems that need to be solved, but it's trying to do it in its own strength. It's looking to the arm of the flesh to fix it without any insight from the creator of everything, when God could say, just ask me. Just ask me and I'll tell you how to fix this. Daniel was able, he was gifted, he was known for it, that he could untwist the knots. I believe spirit-filled people in the next generation are going to untwist some of the knots that have been twisted into our culture. I'm going to look, go ahead, you can celebrate that. I want to put this value in you, because I am proud of the fact that we're a spirit-filled church. It doesn't embarrass me at all. I don't sit there and go, I'm a spirit-filled church. Because I have an understanding of what it means. Amen. But I have a dream and a belief that in this next generation, we are the ones equipped, because we're the ones that learn how to hear the voice of God and believe he still speaks, by the way. And believe we can get the wisdom of God even beyond what we've learned in our own understanding, that God can deposit the idea that could take someone else 20 years to figure out. God can give it to us in a night, in a dream, in a vision, in a word. See, there's a reason why spirit-filled activity is given. The Bible says the manifestation of the Spirit is to profit, to bring profit, to bring increase to the body of Christ, but I believe also to the world. But I believe there's going to come a day where I'm believing that spirit-filled people are going to be on the front line of fixing problems in this world. Not just complaining about the problems of this world, but fixing the problems in this world. Because we realize we're not here just to critique the world. We're here to make it better. We're here to bring change. We were brought into the kingdom for such a time as this. Daniel was brought into fallen Babylon for such a time as these. Amen. Because God knew Babylon was going to need him. And it was going to get Babylon's attention when Babylon's wisdom came to naught. And all of a sudden, there were people that could get a hold of the mind of God. I believe in who you are and who God's made you to be. You know, anyone ever play with Rubik's Cube before? I use this in our School of the Bible grad, but I want to bring it back to your attention. Some of you are amazing in the act of fixing a Rubik's Cube. You can get it done in like 15 seconds. You could probably do it with your feet. You're so amazing. It's awesome. Kisses on your cheek. But in my life, I've probably owned about 12 of these. All of which, after about 30 seconds of trying, I did what the normal person would do. You throw it away. You throw it in a drawer. It's somewhere in the toy box somewhere. You know, when I was growing up back in the 80s, early 90s, you know, Rubik's Cubes were everywhere. They even had them on little keychains. You remember Rubik's Cubes on keychains? As if it wasn't hard enough with the big one. Now you have to do it like with your pinkies, you know? Like that was going to... Anyways. But when I was growing up, I never to this day have figured out how to do a Rubik's Cube, and except peel the stickers off and put them on again in the right order. Can I get an amen? Come on. Come on. You've done it. You've done it. Or you just rip the Rubik's Cube apart and then you re-glue it back together again. Either of those things work, people. But most of us probably have a bunch of these somewhere in our toy boxes of days gone by. And we throw them away and we say something similar to this. It's impossible. That's just impossible. There's no answer to it. Now, we know there actually are thousands of algorithms that can fix a Rubik's Cube. The truth is, we just don't know any of them, okay? And so we throw it away. That's the same thing with some of these problems in our world. Problems where people say there's no solution to the financial problems of the United States of America. That's like throwing the Rubik's Cube away. I believe God has trillion-dollar ideas to fix the United States of America. To say there's no way to fix such and such a state because, oh, it's just always going to be such a difficult, godless, you know, state that hates God. You know, oh, New York, there's no way God's, you know, that New York will ever be any different. It's always going to be pro the wrong things and advancing the wrong things around the world, or Hollywood's always going to be doing this and there's no solution for Hollywood or for California. God might as well just send an earthquake, break it off, drown them all in the ocean and start over with the new coast in Nevada. You understand what I'm saying? But the bottom line is this: God has a wisdom. There is an answer to bring revival to Hollywood. There is solutions to bring New York on board and make it a godly state. Are you understanding what I'm saying? You know, people say, oh, you know, the South is the Bible Belt. You know, the North, they're always going to be, you know, this way and that way, and they're going to be harder. You know, there is a wisdom from God. Why can't the North be a Bible Belt as well? Maybe we're not the belt, but maybe we're the collar. I mean, we're the collar of the United States, helping, you know, with the head. Hallelujah. We'll take that. Are you understanding what I'm saying? What I'm saying is this: too many times Christians just say there's no answer, or the world says there's no answer. The truth is there are all kinds of answers. It's just we haven't seen it yet, but God knows the solution to the problem. God knows the algorithm to the problem to bring the answer. And so when we throw it away saying, oh, the government's always going to be like this, or the economy's always going to be like this, or our school systems are always going to be lacking in these areas, these are the areas that we should be praying, God, send me. Here am I. Send me. Because you have a plan. You have a way to fix these solutions. And they reside on the inside of you. Amen. Because you have access to the throne of God, you have access to the mind of God, you are filled with the Spirit of God. Amen. So you move on in this chapter, chapter 5, verse 13. So Daniel was brought in before the king. And hold on one second. I forgot to open my notes. I'm just excited to talk to you about what I'm talking about. So Daniel was brought in before the king, and the king spoke and said, are you that Daniel? Don't you love that? The king had heard about him. I hope that day comes for you as well, that the president of your company calls you into his office one day and says, are you that George that I've heard about that's been solving issues in the factory for the last 5 years? You've been fixing things no one can fix. You've been increasing the lives of your coworkers. Are you that George? Because I have a problem and I'd like to ask you to help me. Are you that Susan that's a teacher at that school that you've put into practice tutoring programs, and you've helped students who had no ability to learn or were just disinterested in learning, but something you've created has gotten them engaged and has begun moving a whole neighborhood to a place of education and freedom? Are you that person that wrote that curriculum? You can say, yes, I am. Yes, I am. What do you need? Because I can help you too. Are you that Daniel, who is the one from the exiles from Judah, whom my father the king brought from Judah? I have heard about you, that the spirit of the gods is in you, that illumination and insight and extraordinary wisdom have been found in you. Just now the wise men and the conjurers were brought before me, that they might read this inscription and make its interpretation known to me, but they could not declare the interpretation of the message. But I have personally heard about you, that you are able to give interpretations and solve difficult problems. May that be said of us, that the Spirit of God is upon us. You know what's even better about being a New Testament believer versus an Old Testament believer? Let me tell you. That the Spirit of God dwells within us, rather than just comes upon us in seasons. See, in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit would come upon people in seasons. They'd have to go seek the Lord, and they'd have to go, you know, have the Spirit come upon them. But according to New Testament theology, the Holy Spirit resides in you. And so you never have to wonder, am I anointed today? Am I able? Am I capable today? Are you understanding that? But you can just walk with an expectation that I am filled with the ability to do this work, to accomplish this goal. Amen? Daniel chapter 6, go to the next chapter. We'll move on ahead to another king. Now you're into the third king of Daniel's life, and he hears about Daniel as well. His name is Darius. In verse 3, you see that Daniel began distinguishing himself in Darius's kingdom among the commissioners and the satraps because he possessed an excellent spirit, and the king planned to appoint him over the entire kingdom. Isn't that great? And you go down a little bit into verse 4, and you'll see that the other counselors were irritated at Daniel's promotion, and so they tried to accuse Daniel and try to get him in trouble, but it says there was no negligence. If you look later in verse 4, there was no negligence or corruption to be found in Daniel. This is the next part of being an excellent spirit-filled person. Being an excellent spirit-filled person is not just about the power you carry, but the character you walk in. See, the character you walk in helps people trust the power that's on the inside of you. Too many times, and I'll teach on this in this series, we respect people for their gifts, but the truth is gifts can be given to children. We're not to know people by their giftings. We're to know them by their fruit, the Bible says. The fruit of the Spirit, which is things like love and patience and goodness and faithfulness. Even though people might be incredibly gifted, even in the beginning of their Christianity, it's important that we pursue character. I want to talk to you a little bit about the character that we're to walk in. Because if God begins to put tremendous ability inside of you and promotion inside of you, the devil's also going to come trying to deceive you and trick you to take you out. And it's the character that you've built over time that's going to allow you to be there to help thousands of people and to lead thousands of people. What we don't need is someone just to blow in, explode, and get blown right out again. You understand what I'm saying? Because, oh, they're so talented, they're so powerful, they can get wisdom, they have insight. Yes, but do they have character? Are they faithful people? Are they trustworthy people, which means worthy of trust? Are you understanding? And so, just this is some of the reasons why we've been accused in the past of not being excellent. See, Daniel was an excellent spirit, they said. But Daniel was faithful. It wasn't just what he could do in interpreting dreams and visions, but they couldn't find anything in his personal life to attack him with or to take him out. Because here's the truth. As you start being promoted, the devil will scour your personal life to find a way to get you off the picture, get you off the plan. Are you understanding how that works? And so as much as we want to be used of God and we want to be in spirit-filled environments and have gifts and abilities and we want to be able to prophesy and we want to be able to lay hands on the sick and we want to be able to have the mind of God, we also need to say, God, help me grow in my character. My character is every bit as important as the power of which I carry. Amen. And so God, help me with my love walk. Help me with my forgiveness of other people and becoming offended and bitter. Help me not to be a person that's easily offended, because in this world there's opportunity to be offended all the time. And if I'm offended, then I'm not being useful anymore, because now I'm walking in an offense and I'm not here helping the very people that I've been sent to help. You know, even that person that's offended you are people that God can empower you to help them as well. Character is huge. And so there was no corruption to be found in Daniel. I just pray, God, make us people of great character. Let me talk to you briefly into the New Testament on how the New Testament links being filled with the Spirit as a designation to be looked for in church leadership, or as a designation to be seen that something is different upon the individual. They're not just a better person. They're not just forgiven, but they are Spirit-filled individuals, even in Jesus' life. Luke chapter 4, verse 1, talking about Jesus when he was just right about the time he was baptized, the Bible says, Jesus filled with the Holy Spirit, Jesus full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led around by the Spirit in the wilderness. I want you to see, and I'm going to show you two or three other verses that say a very similar thing, but the New Testament consistently begins to mark the designation when a person was filled with the Spirit, because it's a big deal to them. That being filled with the Spirit in the New Testament language, in the New Testament church, means this individual is now able to do. This individual is now not just like everybody else. There's a new classification on their life. There's a new enhancement, increase, ability upon who they are as an individual. Jesus, in this moment, the Bible is recording, he was always Son of God. He had never sinned. So this is not like, okay, Jesus, the pure and the Son of God, but this is Jesus, Son of God, Jesus pure, now filled with the Spirit. You see, the Bible goes on to say this is a big deal moment. You know, when Jesus was baptized in the Jordan and the Holy Spirit came down upon him, he was now anointed to do what he was created to do. The ability of God had been turned on in his life. And so the Bible was designating that moment. What I'm trying to help us see here is this. There are lots of people that are Christians and they're believers and they even have character and they're good people. But the Bible looks for a certain qualification in its leaders. And the qualification is Spirit-filled. And when they're Spirit-filled, they say, set that person aside and use them because they're Spirit-filled. I am hoping for a day again where that we as a church would be similar, where we say, look, praise God, you believe in God. Praise God, your sins are forgiven. But have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? Because we're looking to accomplish things that are going to be greater than the arm of the flesh. We're looking to accomplish things that are going to need access to the things of the Spirit of God, because there's problems in this world and there's needs in this world that we come to the end of our rope, but we still have his to go. Are you understanding? And so you see here in Luke chapter 4, even Jesus had a moment in his life. He was always Jesus his whole life, but Jesus had a moment in his life where now he's not just Jesus, he's Jesus full of the Holy Spirit. And the Bible thought it worthy to record. It goes on again, very similarly, Acts chapter 4. Go to Acts chapter 4, if you would please, in your Bibles. In Acts chapter 4, you're going to see Peter standing up after the day of Pentecost, after they had been filled with the Holy Spirit. On the day of Pentecost, Peter stands up in defense in the courts with all the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the political leaders. Now again, keep in mind that the political leaders, the religious leaders of Israel, of Jerusalem of that day, were the world leaders of Jerusalem. They were the fathers and the elders. They were the ones that were the most educated. They were the ones that were on the top of cultural ladder in Jerusalem, in Israel of that day. And here now Peter is giving a defense, or he's talking on the same level as them. And notice what they observed about Peter. It says here in Acts chapter 4, verse 8, then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit. See, the Bible, again, is making designation that it's not Peter right now going toe-to-toe with the leaders of the culture, going toe-to-toe with the negative religious people of the culture. It's Peter filled with the Holy Spirit. See, again, you need to read these things in the book of Acts. You need to see the designation of the Bible. The Bible doesn't give words for just words' sake. The Bible's trying to inform the readers that Peter is standing against culture. He's standing against thousands of years of religious tradition. He's standing against the very people that killed the Savior, but he's not there alone. You're going to be put in front of a world that wants to kill Jesus. You're going to be put in front of a world that is against what we're saying, but they still need to hear what we have to say. But it's not you. It's you filled with the Holy Spirit. It's you with the Spirit of God, realizing why you're there and who's there with you. Amen. But Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to the rulers and elders of the people, if we are on trial today for a benefit done to a sick man as to how this man has been made well, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ, the Nazarene, whom you crucified, the boldness starts coming out of Peter. These people have the ability to arrest Peter or kill Peter, and Peter's leaning into them saying, you killed him. He's in their face, man. Whom God raised from the dead by this name that is this man that stands here before you in good health. See, they had healed a crippled man, and they were brought on trial and being persecuted for healing him in the name of Jesus. And Peter used that as an opportunity to preach the gospel of Jesus. He is the stone, talking about Jesus, which was rejected by you, the builders, but which became the chief cornerstone. And there is salvation in no one else. See, now he's reaching out to them as leaders. Here's a guy that in the social ladder of the day is on the bottom rung, speaking to those on the top rung, and he's speaking into them as their equal. Because it's not just Peter. It's Peter filled with the Spirit of God. There is salvation in no one else. There is no other name under heaven given to men by which men must be saved. Verse 13, key verse. Now as they observed the confidence of Peter and John, and they understood that they were uneducated and untrained men, they were amazed and began to recognize them as having been with Jesus. Now here's the deal. That's what they said. They said, this must be because they were hanging out with Jesus. But that's actually not the whole story, because they didn't know about the baptism of the Spirit. That's what the leaders said. But this is actually a fulfillment of a promise that Jesus gave to the apostles in Luke chapter 12, verses 11 and 12, when Jesus said, don't worry when you get placed in front of these types of individuals what to say, because the Holy Spirit will be on you, and it'll be told you what to say in that moment. Basically, Jesus saying, don't worry about your qualifications. Don't worry about, I'm going to put you in places that you wouldn't imagine your influence and feet would tread. And I'm not putting you even in front of those magistrates and in front of those Pharisees and Sadducees so that you yourself will just get just martyred or something like that, not to end something, but I'm going to put you in front of them to change many of their hearts and to change the culture. See, sometimes we think Jesus was just giving them the Holy Spirit to comfort them so that they could die. No, he was giving them wisdom, and many of these individuals over the course of the next few years, many leaders of synagogues began to become believers and Christians. Are you understanding? And as these messages were preached to these high-level leaders and social individuals, you understand those same words were being spread around the city, that the Christians are standing up and they're bringing a new God, they're bringing a gospel in the face of a very oppressive society, and they began to push back at the very top levels. they were anointed to push back against that evil way of thinking and corruption. They were anointed to do this. It wasn't just being with Jesus. It was they were filled with the Spirit of God. Are you understanding how that works? All right, let's move on to one more verse before I move on to another one. Acts chapter 6. There's a revival going on. There's all kinds of powerful things happening. Acts chapter 6, the disciples say, we can't look after the widows and the orphans like we should. We need to select new leaders to help us do that. In their selection process, look what they look for. Acts chapter 6, verse 3. Therefore, select from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Spirit and wisdom, whom they may put in charge of the task. Right there is a mouthful. It's everything we've just talked about. Notice in the early church, when they were looking for leaders to help lead the move of God that would take the earth, they said, let's look for 3 things. Good reputation. Character. Right? Don't wait to get character to after you've gotten your promotion. Have character now. Amen. Look for character, character, character. Full of the Spirit. There it is again. We're not just looking for good Christian people. We're not looking for just nice people full of character. We're looking for people that are reputable, full of the Spirit. I want us to be convinced of this, everybody, that in the early church, they were building something that was huge. And they knew and they valued the filling of the Spirit in a way that we need to get back to. To say, look, I know that you're a Christian, you're a good person, but do you have access to the Spirit? Do you listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit? Have you been trained to hear God? Do you know how to get a hold of the manifestations and the gifts of the Spirit of God? Are you Spirit-filled people? The early church designated that as you're not going to be a key leader unless you can move in the things of God. Are you understanding that? See, that sounds harsh. What if they're just nice, reputable people? They're wonderful people going to heaven. Praise God. But we're talking about leaders of the future. And God in the New Testament uses a designation very clearly and says, look, I'm not just looking for good, forgiven people. I need people that are washed, cleansed, and filled with something greater than you can accomplish in your own strength. Amen. So reputable, full of the Spirit, and wisdom. This goes back to being excellent again. Daniel was well trained in the wisdom of Babylon. It's okay to have an education and be Spirit-filled. Can I get an amen? And it's okay to not just lean on being Spirit-filled and you stop being a lifelong learner. It's not okay it's not okay to say, I'm just Spirit-filled, I don't need to learn anything. That's not okay. You need to read books. You need to go through classes and courses. You need to continue to hone your craft and to get better, because we're talking about a spirit of excellence here, everybody, and not just saying, well, I'm Spirit-filled. If I need to know it, the Holy Spirit's just going to tell me. You can also continue to study, and you can continue to prepare, and you can allow God to anoint what you have with what He has and become even more excellent. Are you understanding? And so I don't want to be Spirit-filled people that exchange and saying, well, now that we speak in tongues, now that we're Spirit-filled, we don't need any of this other stuff. Even the New Testament church looked for character, looked for Spirit filling, and looked for people that had wisdom. Amen. Amen. Good judgment as well. Amen. Amen. And so when we're saying we're moving into a place of a spirit of excellence, we're looking for all of those things as well. Amen. You know, some of the leaders of today's economy and people that I'd like to give you some testimony real quick. Spirit-filled people. Because I'm trying to help you see, look, I don't know where in the culture or in the history of the world that all of a sudden spiritual people got stuck in a crazy box. Like all of a sudden we're irrelevant, we don't matter, and we're not important, or we really can't do much of anything except for dance around in a church. When the New Testament was built on Spirit-filled people, the whole New Testament was built on Spirit-filled people. Matter of fact, every church today that's doing anything for God, their great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great- They wouldn't exist if it wasn't for Spirit-filled people. Are you understanding what I'm saying? But even today, there's proven track record of people that are effective, not only in church, but even in business, that are Spirit-filled people that today have built tremendous companies and move in the things of the Spirit of God, and they give millions and millions of dollars into the move of God's Spirit and culture around the world in orphanages and missions work and gospel training. I have a friend of mine that does a disaster relief a massive disaster relief program around the world. They serve tens of thousands and tens of thousands of orphans all over the world. And he's the vice president of the company. And I called him up and I said, hey, give me some of your main donors that you know attend Spirit-filled churches or Spirit-filled themselves that practice the gifts and the moving of the Spirit of God that have contributed tremendously to your financial causes around the world that put millions and millions and millions of dollars in this, because I want my church to know that being Spirit-filled doesn't make you ineffective as a business leader, but rather can make you even more effective as a business leader. And he immediately just went bam, 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 gave me three names I'll give to you today. Hobby Lobby. Hobby Lobby, Spirit-filled family. They seek the wisdom of God, they pray in the tongues, and they attend Spirit-filled churches, and they've built companies, and they've even taken on our government in the power of the Spirit to push back against twisted thinking. Are you hearing what I'm saying, everybody? Okay? And they give millions and millions and millions of dollars into world missions around the world. They built that being Spirit-filled people, not a bunch of crazies, but being some of the most brilliant people in business. Annie Ann's, yeah, the pretzel lady. Annie Ann's pretzels, you know that little halo on top? Spirit-filled family gives millions of dollars away, which when I eat those pretzels, I start speaking in tongues. Amen. Give millions and millions, employ people all over the world, gives millions of dollars away to the move of God. Beautiful, Spirit-filled family attends Assembly of God churches. Creators of OtterBox that protect your cell phone. Millions and millions of dollars into the move of God. Orphanages, church planting around the world, Spirit-filled families. I'm just trying to help you realize you're in good company in business, and you're in good company in church leadership. We're more than okay being excited about the fact that we're a Spirit-filled group of people. Can you give God praise for that? Absolutely. Go ahead, stand up. Stand up. I'm going to close here. I'll get into more of this stuff as the weeks go by. I'm just trying to, again, put a value in your heart for it, trying to help you see that there's a special designation on our church and on our life and on our families and all Spirit-filled churches, that God, it's a big deal to be a Spirit-filled people. And we can have a spirit of excellence. And what hasn't been done in excellence, we can change that. Amen. We can change that if we have a vision for it. But again, it's not about me being passionate. This series is about putting that into you, helping you be passionate again to realize what God's doing in you, what God's doing through you, so that you can communicate it and help us all make a difference in the future of our world, being Spirit-filled people. Father, right now, in Jesus' name, I pray for Life Church. I pray for those watching on the internet. I pray, God, you'd give us vision. Vision for this next generation of a Spirit-filled church, this next move of God. There are some twisted problems in our culture. And I thank you that in the heart of Spirit-filled people, I believe there's answers. I believe there's cures for diseases in the heart of Spirit-filled people. I believe there's cures for economies and social ills and education problems. I believe that there are all kinds of ideas and wisdoms lying in your mind. And that, God, you want to give to us to make your name great and to help bring change in communities. And so, Lord, I pray you teach us how to do this, how to listen, how to hear, how to receive from you, and have faith to believe that we're going to hear when we pray. And so, God, I thank you for making us excellent, Spirit-filled people. In Jesus' name, amen. Before I dismiss you, I want to give you an opportunity to make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. The Bible tells us that all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death, separation from God, hell. But the gift of God is eternal life, and that's through Jesus Christ the Lord. The Bible goes on to say that all who will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. And so today, here I am talking about an excellent spirit. I'm talking about God wanting to empower you to change the world. The first way God empowers you to change the world is he changes you, forgives you of your sins, washes you, cleanses you. I don't want to, even though I'm saying, hey, there's more, you can be filled after you're washed, I don't want to forget that the washing is the beginning. And so today, you need to be washed if you need to be forgiven. You say, Pastor Kevin, I don't know where I am in my walk with God. I don't remember a time in my life that I ever made Jesus Christ the Lord of my life. Or maybe you might say, Pastor Kevin, a long time ago, I used to serve God, and for some reason, I walked away, but I'd like to get things right. I'm not going to call you to the front right now. I'm going to pray for you right at your seat. And so would you all bow your head and close your eyes for the next 30 seconds, and let's give people opportunity to receive Jesus. maybe even on the internet right now. You say, Pastor Kevin, that's me. I'm out of relationship with God, but I'd like to get things right today. I'm going to pray a prayer with you at your seat, but I'm going to ask you to be brave enough to acknowledge you want to pray that prayer. So don't look around, don't look at your friend or neighbor around you, but you know you're not right with God and you need to get right today. If that's you, would you please slip your hand up right where you are, and I'd be honored to pray with you today. Anyone at all, pop your hand right up. There's a hand in the center. Anybody else? I am not right with God and I need to make it right. If that's you, put your hand up right where you are. Don't leave this place out of relationship with God. There's no reason to. Anybody else today? Just pop your hand up wherever you are, and we'd acknowledge that. We'd love to pray for you. Just put your hand up where I can see it. All right, church, there's another hand. Great, awesome. Anybody else? Anybody else today? Okay, let's pray together. Would you please? No one's praying by themselves. Dear God, I thank you that you see me just as I am. I realize I've sinned, and I've walked away from you. I receive Jesus Christ today as my Lord and Savior. I believe that he died for me and that he rose again. Please forgive me of my sins. Wash me, cleanse me, make me new. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Take every part of me now. Be my God. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Would you celebrate those two and anyone that might have been watching on the internet right now? Prayer teams, if you come to the front, I'll have our prayer teams come to the front. Today, you might want to come down and get prayer for healing or freedom, or maybe you say, I want to be filled with the Spirit. We talked about it all day. You can be filled with the Spirit today. Even if you prayed for the first time today to give your life to Jesus, you're ready to be filled with the Spirit of God. And you can come down, they'll minister to you in that way. On your way out, if you prayed that prayer to give your life to Jesus, right behind our video cameras, there's Bibles and there's individuals there at our New Beginnings area. They'd love to help you in your walk with God so you're not doing it by yourself. I'm going to pray for you, dismiss you. Ladies, go ahead and sign up for the women's conference. Get that done so that you can make sure you're ready to go and be inviting your friends. Heavenly Father, we bless Life Church as they go. I pray, God, that you give us a vision for who we are and why you've put inside of us what you've put on the inside of us. Make us excellent and skilled in letting what's on the inside of us come and affect the world outside of us. We give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen.